Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I want to welcome everybody to the Unimpressed Podcast today. We have a guy calling in from Los Angeles, and his name is Jesse Hayman, and he is an actor, and he is a creative guy. Welcome, Jesse. How are you doing today?
Thank you. How are you doing today?
I'm good, man.
Great to hear it. Thank you for having me on your show.
Well, let's dig in. I kind of like interviewing people from the foundation up and kind of see how they tick and just, you know, what led you to being in LA currently, and, you know, what's your internal drive?
Well, ever since I was a little kid, I was watching Back to the Future, and I wanted to be that Michael J. Fox going in a time machine on an adventure, going to the future, going to the past, trying to figure out things. And I thought, well, the only way I can really do that is if I eventually make my way out here to where all the movie studios are at and all the big time actors live and all in Los Angeles. So I went to school, high school and college in Texas, took as many theater and creative arts classes that I could take, mostly concentrated on writing and like coming up with characters. And then when I graduated college in the year 2000, I moved from Austin, Texas to Los Angeles. My parents made me get a real job first, but then soon after that, I registered to become a background actor, an extra at Central Casting. And from there, my career just kind of took off.
Being cast as an extra, I mean, how does that transition to a lead role?
Well, it takes time and effort and lots of perseverance and being able to wake up at six, you know, be at the crack of dawn some days and get down to a dingy studio and stand in line with a bunch of other people that are known as extras, and you got to stay in a line, and one line where they check your wardrobe, and another line where they check your makeup, and sometimes they'll apply makeup if it's set in a certain time zone or time period or time, must be wearing clothes that are set in these or something like that. Recently, I worked on The Offer, which was on Paramount, and it's about the making of the Godfather series, and I had to be put into makeup and hair and costumes to make me look like I was, you know, around in the 70s when I just arrived, basically, you know, in LA. And it's very very fun to kind of take a break from reality and become an actor and play a part in something that when you're there doing or making the show, it doesn't feel like that special. But when you see the final production, you see yourself on screen, it's very, very cool.
You did a commercial that was a Super Bowl commercial, did you not? What was that like doing a Super Bowl commercial?
It was very fun, very, very at first nerve-wracking, because the commercial was kissing a supermodel for as many seconds as we could go for. And the original thing said, "Do you mind kissing a supermodel? And it's going to be seen by everyone you've ever run into." And I said, "Yeah, sure, of course." So I went to an audition, and at first they had me kissing blow-up dolls, and then the second audition they had me kiss a real person, and she ended up being the stand-in for the supermodel that I kissed in the commercial. And she said, "Jesse, you're the only kiss that I remembered," which is very cool. And then on the actual day, I got to sit down in a studio with Bar Raffaele, a supermodel, and I got to kiss her 65 times. And that's a lot of kissing.
65 times.
Yeah, Jesus. 65 times.
And you were counting, huh?
Well, I wasn't counting. The people that were making the commercial were counting, and I didn't even know it was 65 until they sent me to the Today Show to promote the commercial, and I got to sit on a couch with Matt Lauer and talk to him about kissing Bar Raffaele, and well, you know how things went with him. But it's definitely a career changing and life changing moment for me. I went from being in the background to being in the foreground, very, very featured and in like the second quarter or the first quarter of the Super Bowl. It aired and over, they said it made 1.1 billion impressions that in that one commercial, which is like more than like a day of hamburgers sold at McDonald's, you know?
Yeah. What was that like after that experience?
It was very, very crazy. My life was crazy. I kept going on these. They kept sending me on like red eye flights back and forth from LA to New York to do interviews. I got to go meet like Jenny McCarthy and people like that, and got to do like shows that I like, to the Tonight Show with Jay Leno. I got to go on. That was actually my second time on the Tonight Show. I had been on the Tonight Show 2 years prior because a fan of mine from Sweden posted a video online on YouTube called "Deeming Me the World's Greatest Extra," and because of that, that video went viral on YouTube, got over 4 million hits. They had me on The Tonight Show. I think it was April 11th, 2011 was my first appearance on The Tonight Show. It's very memorable. I remember the date, you know. And it was just really cool. It was like one of those dreams that I set when I first came to LA. Was one of them was to appear on The Tonight Show, and I achieved that dream right there. That's it.
And, you know, talking about these goals, come off that high of doing these things, what is next? I mean, how do you find your path?
Well, it's very tricky in LA. There are a lot of times when you do feel like there's nothing for you out here. There are definitely weeks and months that go by sometimes between opportunities or between gigs, and you feel like, uh-oh, I'm struggling now. What do I do? But fortunately, there's a lot of jobs you could do out here when you're not acting that'll keep you kind of trained and fine-tuned as an actor. So like at first I was for a while there I was a Lyft driver, and I would take people, you know, like a Lyft driver does anywhere, takes people to the airport and takes people to the wherever they're going out. But what I would do is I would study the characters and study the personalities of the people that I would pick up. Sometimes I would study that they had a different accent, or they had a different way of talking, or a different way about them. I would study my customers, and so that when I get an opportunity to audition for a TV show or a film, and they need to play a certain type, I can kind of reference my customers.
What type of gigs are you casting for today, or trying out for today?
Well, none today. I saw an posting that I was going.
Well, when I say today,
sure.
I'm not today literally, but in this current time, what gigs are you looking at?
It sounds crazy, but I'm submitting my car to be in TV and film right now, because I don't have like a very unique car. I have a very plain car, a Toyota Corolla, but they look for your car to be on TV. And right now, if you watch the TV show Shrinking that's on Apple TV, you'll see my car on the street half the time that they show street scenes in that show. So I'm looking for opportunities in any way I can. Every opportunity that is presented to me, I take seriously and consider. I'm also I'm attached to a film that's going to at some point shoot in Iceland, but we haven't set a date for that.
And what film is that?
Right now, it doesn't have a title. It's untitled, but it's gonna take place, like I said, in Iceland, and it involves a wedding, and I get to be someone who's in the wedding party, and it's kind of like an independent features. I've done an independent feature in the past called The Jerk Theory that came out in like 2006, 2007 maybe. I got to go to Utah and film for like 2 weeks or 3 weeks in Salt Lake City area. It was very cool. That was a really great project for me because I got to act and speak on a film for the majority of the film and be a main character of the film, whereas majority of my career has been in the background, not in a non-speaking manner, not talking at all.
Some of these things, how do you, you know, what's your daily life like out there in LA? I mean, what do you do? I mean, you look like you're maybe under 30.
Surprisingly, I'm actually about to turn, next month I turn 45, but I do that. The fact that you think I look under 30, that's the reason I'm still acting, because I have this, I have a rare condition called Klinefelter syndrome, which just means that I was born with extra chromosomes. It leads me to looking young and kind of coming off as awkward sometimes. So it really helps with the acting, because it seems like that all you see on TV these days are awkward characters getting into weird situations and having to deal with them. You know, it's kind of, it seems like that's, you know, apart from the normal lawyer shows and doctor shows and all the things going on. You know, the reason you watch some shows is because of how quirky the characters are. Right?
Now, your parents have something similar? Was this something in your family
no,
at all?
No, not really. As far as I know, I'm the only very creative person in my family. My parents were, my mom was a speech therapist in pathologist in schools. My dad was a market researcher, and they're both retired now. My brother is a scientist. He studies worms. His wife does, like, he works at Harvard. She works at MIT. They have very smart family there. I have cousins, and I have one cousin who's out here, and he's working at CAA, but he's an agent. He's not a talent. For some reason, I just found the bug, and whatever the creative juices definitely flow through me. I've been creative writing all my life and coming up with crazy ideas for things, and so I just happen to find that it makes me happy when I have to come up with a character for myself or for someone else.
Now, the stuff you write about,
uh-huh,
where does that come from?
I have no idea. Sometimes it's based on something that I'm experiencing, or some things will just come straight out of thin air to me. Like the other day, I had an idea for a show, or maybe a movie or something, where, I don't know if you've ever seen the show on Netflix, it's called Black Mirror, and they have, like, every episode is like a new idea of something that might be possible in the future, or some technology, or something that kind of has a dark tone to it, but also comedic in some ways. Like, you know, there was one, a really big episode about, like, how obsessed everyone is with their social media, and whether or not to get enough likes or smile, or, you know, people interested in your stories. My idea was like something like you could put a beanie on, and it would somehow, you could travel with the beanie on. It would take you to, like, it's like a transport, you know, they're all the Star Trek transport, but you could just, all you have to do is put a beanie on and it'll take you somewhere.
What do you think about the other side? You tap into the other side?
What do you mean the other side? I'm not very religious I respect everyone's beliefs and right and to believe in whatever they believe in, but I don't really know if I believe in certain things. I think we come from Mars more like, or not Mars, beyond Mars. More.
So you believe in ancient civilizations?
Well, ancient or future, yes. Future, yes.
Sure. And what's your belief on ancient civilizations?
I think, I think that they're out there. They're ancient to us, but they're still in existence. And I believe that I've been on Earth before, like, maybe not me personally, but I feel like some, my soul has been on Earth before. Like, I feel like anything that I, for some reason, I feel like whatever you're afraid of in this life, if you have any fears, it's something that has affected you in a previous
life. Well, what are your fears?
Well, I have a fear of heights. Sometimes I have a fear of, sometimes I can't walk on bridges. Sometimes my fear of heights is so bad that, like, I'll be driving down the road and I'll see someone washing windows on a crane, and I'll get anxious for them, even though I'm not experiencing it myself. Or I have to stay to the middle of a freeway, or I have to be drive. Sometimes I drive, I don't even go on the freeway. I'll just drive on the side streets, even though it takes me a long time to get somewhere. I just feel that I try to do things as safely as possible in this life, so I fear falling and obviously everything nowadays I'm working as a security guard as a side job, and so I'm always worried that someone's going to bring a gun to my entrance or to my gate, and I'm going to be forced to tackle someone who may try to cause harm to others. So I kind of have fear, but I'm also prepared to deal with whatever comes.
You're prepared to deal with whatever. What makes you feel like you've been here before?
It seems like I get all these thoughts in my head, or I'm not sure where the thoughts come from. Like maybe they're a recollection from another time or another place, or like I feel like I I have explanations for things or feelings about things that maybe are above other people's thinking. Like, I think that we should have a lot more attention on how much people care or don't care for certain things. I have zero tolerance for people that don't accept people for who they are and accept people for how they want to live their lives. I still can't believe how many people, how petty humans are to each other, you know, and I think we might be the most violent species in the universe, and that's why we're left alone. I think we are in contact with other places, other beings, other planets, other societies, but they don't get involved with our personal issues because it's not their business to deal with, and we have to deal with our own issues. But I'm not sure if we're ever going to get to a world peace or something that's peaceful enough for them to come visit us.
Well, I think things are about to change, and if you think about perpetuation and negativity, right? And something you said earlier about certain tone, I think you're a person that can recognize different types of tone.
Yeah.
And I'll just blindly ask you this question.
Okay.
Because I think I know the answer. What percentage of the tone on Netflix shows are dark?
I mean, it seems like probably over 70% of them.
Yeah, 70%. Exactly, yeah. Right. Probably maybe 80.
Positive shows on there as well. I mean,
I'm not saying there's not positive shows on there, and I'm not trying to pin you in a corner.
Okay.
But if you look at this as an experiment and you look at...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And how the perpetuation and negativity, you know, we get up in the morning, we hear an alarm clock. So you think hearing the buzz going off at 7 a.m. in the morning is positive?
Yeah, I do, because I think it is positive because it confirms you're still alive for the next day. Like, I mean, we should be happy.
Jesse, you would be.
We should be happy that we wake up each day, because based on how things are in the world right now, you have to be happy to just be appreciative that you're alive to live another day, you know?
Well, I believe that 100%. I believe the best thing about life is life.
Of course.
So I believe that 100%. But if you think about the rationale of that, as soon as we get up in the morning, you know, we have these noises, we have, you know, we see news that may, usually news is bad. So we start off with this negative type of energy.
Right.
So if you perpetuate negative energy continuously, right? And then you're reading data at Netflix, and majority of the population responds to negativity more than they respond to positivity.
True,
there's a reason that the tone of most of those shows are dark, because it's a percentage game.
But the majority of all those shows, we have to recognize, it's fiction. It's based on ideas that are in the real world, but the majority of them are meant for entertainment, not to be taken seriously.
Yeah, you understand that. I understand that.
Okay.
But law of attraction. Doesn't understand that.
Okay.
And that's something I don't think we look at as human beings to make a change, because, you know, if you looked at creating positivity in kids, and I have this thing of, and I'll talk about the subconscious, but you've looked at, there's a difference between a kid is born into this world, and the way we start managing these kids, in a way, we're not creating confidence for kids.
Okay.
So if you want to change the world, you have to create confidence. So if a kid approaches something that he's never done before, obviously he's going to have fear, but instead of approaching it, then, can I do this? Will I succeed? You know, does this work for me? instead of questioning this opportunity, the response should be, I can do this. I will succeed. Mm-hmm. This is for me. So if you change that mindset, if you change that mindset, you know, 1,000 years ago, and people were trained that way, and people were trained that way from a positive end, I think tone of some of the content that's created would be different.
Sure. But I think it's also important to teach kids to be open-minded and open heart, face things with an open heart and open eyes, and seeing the world not always for what it's portrayed to be on Netflix whatever show, you know?
Yeah.
And also to it's not even just Netflix. If a kid is tunes in and his parents are watching a C-SPAN of a Senate trial of some you know social network guy or the way that they in the blast they keep yelling at people with to try to get explanations about them for the reasons that they do certain things, you know, it's just the way that they're conducting business. It's not, I don't know. I'm just saying it. We need to keep kids thinking that the world is still theirs to change the world.
Well, what people don't realize is, and I'm trying to get to this point, what people don't realize is, and you talk about the tone of some of the Netflix shows,
right?
People will naturally, by law of attraction, will be attracted to that tone because that's what they're used to. Because what happens is when you're born into this world, your subconscious is like a computer, and your subconscious is being programmed with whatever information you take in. Your subconscious is taking that information in, and that's data. So whatever your environment, whatever environment you're in, you're building your subconscious as a young person.
Okay.
Then when you get to a certain point in life, you start responding to things with your unconscious bias. And that is a natural response. That is a natural response based on your subconscious. And however heavy your subconscious is programmed, it makes it harder for people to get to consciousness. So if you never get to consciousness, and we are perpetuating a certain tone that may lean to a darker place, right? When you create content in the world and you want to naturally attract these people because their programming of their subconscious is somewhat negative, they're going to be, because of their unconscious bias, they're going to be naturally attracted to a darker tone of content.
Are coming at me kind of feeling like a dark tone right now. It seems like you came to do this interview with some kind of agenda of your own.
I'm just going on what you told me. You just mentioned tone, and I think you're a very intelligent guy.
Okay.
I think you're a highly intelligent person.
Okay.
And I'm just trying to dig into some of these responses and just seeing where this conversation could go. Because I'm the most positive person on the face of the planet. You know, I'm trying to change the world. I just want people to understand. If you can understand these things,
yeah,
it makes you look at things a lot different, you know, because if you understand that and you can isolate these situations, you can change and fix these things for yourself at the end of the day. Because there's a lot of stuff that we do naturally without really recognizing it or without really relishing it. We're doing these things because of how our subconscious is programmed.
Okay.
So if people could understand that more, it's going to help the world, and you can change humanity. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's why I'm talking about.
I hope we can change humanity, because we need all the things we can to change the way things are going right now.
Yeah. Because I think you got a very positive outlook.
Oh, definitely. I'm definitely a positive person, and
I mean,
you know,
and that's rare.
It shouldn't be rare. It should be I wish more people were positive. I wish more people wanted world peace and wanted, you know, to accept everyone for who they are and not try to push their agenda on people, you know, just because that's what they think or, you know, so I hope there could be as much positivity going on in the world as there is, unfortunately, so much negativity going on.
I think you're in a space that kind of, in a way, instead of, let's say if society looked at you, right, and they said, okay, what's going on here? You know, I see it as intelligence, and maybe there's a deeper dive to understand, you know, where your mindset is and why your mindset is positive. You know what I mean? Like, we don't look at things, we don't look at that piece and say, hey, let's dig into this piece and understand why it is positive, and maybe we can translate that to other people.
Well, yeah, I think your positivity basis is based on what you believe from the get-go. I think it's based on also how you're brought up, or who you're brought up by, or what, you know, your family, or your the way that your family conducts itself, or, you know, if your family is functional or dysfunctional, that also, and how close you are to and how much you agree with how your family brought you up, because sometimes there's a lot of dysfunction because people are raised one way, and then they see how the world works and they want to change their way of living from the way that their parents come up. And that's where a lot of this dissertation comes off. And you know, there's a lot of people that grow up thinking that in the religion that they've been taught, that's the religion that matters, that's the religion that you should be following, and they don't all respect all other religions or other ideologies in the world. You know, obviously, you know, and when we're all, you know, talking to or praying to the same exact, or if you believe in God.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's one God, and I think there's one narrative.
Right.
I think through time, people have carved out pieces of what they thought God was and made it their own, you know. But at the end of the day, there's not, you know, 18, 20 people out there hanging out. You know what I'm saying? There's one energy. There's one source.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I agree with that. And think about what, you know, unconsciously, you think about what you just said.
Right.
About kids growing up. I mean, that's basically what I'm breaking down through your subconscious.
Okay.
And if you know what I'm saying? That's basically what I'm breaking down, because that's the programming of your subconscious. And what I'm trying to say is if people understood it from that perspective, you could change a lot of lives. You know, because that information is not taught. We just wonder why. And then we use those situations that we experience growing up as an excuse for our life. But if you understood it, it's not an excuse for your life. You know exactly what it is.
Sure.
And maybe that makes you have a better mindset on how to handle it.
I think it definitely helps with certain social situations where if you are confronted with a different person, or from a different completely walk of life and different way of living, it's how we conform ourselves to be able to have a normal conversation with anybody.
Well, and I think you got to be able to read the person and understand the person.
Well, and I have to do that in my current career as a security guard for major sporting events. Like, I worked at the last two Super Bowls, and I also work at major I didn't work at the exact concert, but I worked at the venue recently where Dave Chappelle was there for a comedy act, and someone like attacked him on. I wasn't there for that incident, but I've worked at that venue, and I worked with the security team that let that person get by, you know. And but I'm just saying that we unfortunately are in a business where we have to quick judge everyone, because we have to make sure that everyone, if someone is like over beveraged or seems like they are, if they're taking pictures of like the security protocol or doing something that comes off as suspicious, we have to report to our superiors for them to decide whether or not we take action further, or we just let the person go by. No. So I work in a business where it's funny, because I went from a business where I'm still an actor. I'm still acting as much as I can. But when I'm an actor, I'm being stereotyped as a geek or a nerdy guy or a white guy, or I look like a guy that's never really had a girlfriend or never really done well in terms of social, you know, probably always the last one picked for a sports team and that kind of stuff. Always being bullied into something or that. And went from that to a career where I'm now the one who is the authority at for some events, and I'm supervisor now, so I have to watch my staff and make sure that they're following our policies and our rules and how we conduct screenings on people, and making sure everyone is, we have to screen bags, we have to make sure that they're following the policies. There's a huge thing going on right now with clear bag policy, where if you don't have a clear bag, they're going to make you check in your bag to a locker where you, and we get a lot of arguments. You want me to leave my bag with it in a dirty locker or anything? And I mean, people just don't want to, even though we're just following procedures, people have a hard time trusting other people right now. And that's something we have to fix up. You have to change, because trusting and acceptance is a lot. There's a lot right there.
Do you do any content at all or anything like that?
I used to do content when Periscope was a trending video platform. I used to almost on the daily record a Periscope and do a bit. Sometimes I do it with a friend, or I just do it with myself. And I enjoyed kind of documenting my life as I lived it, because at that time I was still full time acting, and but there was a lot of downtime, and I wanted people to see what it's like. When you're an actor, when you have a lot of downtime, what do you do with your days, and how you fill the time in between gigs? Nowadays, I don't really do as much social media. I have a TikTok. I have, I'm on TikTok. I'm on Instagram. I paid for the Twitter verification, like, because I want it. It's important for my image as an actor, not necessarily because I, follow Elon Musk or because I'm, wanting his approval or anything like that. I just wanted to be visible. But what's funny is, like, I found, and because I got verified on Twitter, I'm in their, like, program. You can change the color of the Twitter button on your phone. So now I have it as a red button, a blue button. That just be
nice. Well, Jesse, I think you should do more content. I like your take. And I think you could be, somewhat of an inspiration to a different narrative. And, you should put that out there more.
I'm definitely considering it. I've actually, what do you think of, I've come up with a name if I do start a podcast. What do you think of Inches from Glory? What do you think of that?
I like that.
Yeah.
I
would kind of be like half sports and half whatever I feel like talking about.
You know, you're trying to represent yourself in a way.
Well, it like I said, it's mostly going to be I'll talk a lot about sports. So I like football, and I like baseball and soccer. And it seems like when in both football and soccer, you could be inches from sporting or inches from changing the first football played on a football field with feet, and the inches matter. So like, or if you're I like the Olympics. So like, when they're running on a track or something, or they could be inches from victory or inches from defeat, that feel like, and the same thing can be true about personal achievements, trying to reach for dreams, and how close we feel like we're close to achieving one goal, where another goal feels like it's out of reach for now, but maybe on the back burner. So I just like inspiring people to follow whatever the dreams are. Hopefully their dreams are mostly positive, not dark tones.
Well, I hope you just understood my angle on that. I'm just trying to shine some light, because that's something people don't realize,
Right.
And I
hope you recognize my own tone in response, because I appreciate your platform and what you're trying to say, and I respect you, and I appreciate wanting to talk with me and share your ideologies and your beliefs, so I can retrain and consider them more as I go on in my own life.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, it was good talking to you, Jesse. I appreciate you coming on, and the man who kissed Bar Raphael 65 times.
65 times, yes.
And yeah, I appreciate you coming on the show. And my name's John Edmonds Cosma, the CEO of Bang Productions.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.